chapter 5, and we're going to take verses 1 through 20. In Mark chapter 4, we saw the Lord present the parable of the sower, which presented to us the ministry of the gospel, and that there are four different ways in which people hear God's word. Then he presented parables and illustrations on the kingdom of God, how God's word functions within his kingdom and is ministered within his kingdom. But then, beginning at verse 35 of chapter 4, and there will be listed four instances, and today will be instance number 2. Last week we took instance number 1, of how the Lord takes those disciples, takes those people who have received his word, so that they might bear fruit. The same basic principles are found in each teaching. Today, verses 1 through 20 would be teaching number 2, or situation or circumstance number 2. Last week we saw Jesus and the disciples in a boat, out in a storm, out on the sea. And those were their circumstances. And they were placed in those circumstances by the Lord's command. Not by accident, the Lord put them there. Every circumstance that we see will be beyond human control and beyond human authority. And then we will see Christ and his authority and his power, him revealing himself. We will see the challenge to the people. What are the people going to do in light of the fact of the circumstance and Christ revealing himself? And then we will see the conclusion. Well, verses 1 through 13 of chapter 5 presents to us these circumstances. And they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. Some English texts say Gerasenes instead of Gadarenes. Both are true. Gadara is the county or region in which Gerasa, the city, is placed. So he came to the region of Gerasa, which is in the county or region of Gadara. So some texts say Gadarenes, presenting the county, and some say Gerasenes, presenting the city near which Jesus and the disciples landed. And when they had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling amongst the tombs. And no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him or bring him under control. Now that's the circumstance. Not in the human ability to control or have authority. Beyond human control and beyond human authority. They tried to take this man, who we'll see in a moment, had at least, minimum, 2,000 demons in him. The worst scenario, to the point that he was running around in the tombs naked, and he lived out in the tombs where they buried people. It's like somebody living in the graveyard in our day. And he was totally demonized or demon-possessed. And they tried to catch him, because he would torment people, scare people as they were walking by. So they said, we're going to get a group of people out, and we're going to capture this guy and lock him up. They captured him and tried to put him in chains and shackles. He was so strong that he broke the chains and broke the shackles. Nobody could tame this guy. And always, verse 5, night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. Beyond human authority and human control. He had no control over his own life. I think we could safely say that. Other human beings could not control this man. Beyond human control and authority. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. Now this is kind of interesting. This goes along with what we studied so far in the fact that even the demons worship Jesus. They have to bow down to him and worship him. I want you to see what happens there. And he cried out with a loud voice and says, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you." The word implore is a word to take an oath. Make an oath with me. This is the demon speaking. Make an oath with me by God that you do not torment me. For Jesus was saying, come out of the man, unclean spirit. So Jesus pointed to the unclean spirit because he saw that the worship was coming from demons. Do you know that demons worship the Lord? Demons have church. Demons use the Bible. Demons have a spiritual experience to them. Paul warned Timothy in the last days that there will be some depart from the faith and will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. We know from 2 Corinthians 11, Satan exposes and reveals himself as an angel of light. So don't be surprised if those who are his, that is Satan's, make themselves a disciple and minister of Christ. If they're in the pulpit, they're ministering. Don't be surprised at that. Demons are very religious. They know the truth about Jesus. Did you know that demons are in submission to Jesus Christ? Whenever he walked into the temple or walked into the area, the demons had to submit to him. So the demon is asking, this is the head demon, ahead of all the other demons, speaking for all the rest, say, take an oath with us by God that you will not torment us, because Jesus wanted to cast the demon out because these demons were controlling this man's life. Then he asked him, verse 9, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Now, a legion in the Roman guard is minimum of 6,000 soldiers. So we're talking, some even estimate that a legion was exactly 6,800. Can you imagine? The demon is saying, my name is Legion, because we, the demons, were at least a couple of thousand. That's how many demons were demonizing this man. We know it was at least 2,000 because there were 2,000 pigs. These demons are going to leave the man's life and go into the pigs and run down and drown into the sea. So we know that there was at least 2,000. Some estimate as high as 6,000. Also, he begged him earnestly. He called out in earnest that he would not send them out of the country. It's kind of interesting. Don't send us out of the country. We want to stay here. It's the height of demonic activity in that area. And the demons did not want to leave. And they said, take an oath that you will not torment us and don't send us out of this area. Now, a large herd of swine or pigs were feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter them. And at once Jesus gave them permission. Now I want you to notice this. Jesus did not send them into the swine. Because the question always comes up. Well, maybe these people had these pigs. I mean, somebody lost a couple thousand pigs there. That's a pretty big loss to take over this particular incident. Some people think these were Jews that were hiding pigs out in the fields. And Jews, of course, did not. Pigs were unclean to them, and so that these were there illegally. This is Gentile country, not Jewish country. And for what reason they were there, we do not know. But Jesus gave the demons permission to do it. They made the request, and Jesus immediately gave them permission. That is, he allowed them to go. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. So there were about 2,000 pigs there. And these demons came out of the man and went into the pigs of the swine. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and were drowning in the sea. So we have the circumstances. This man could not help himself. He was totally controlled by demons. Thousands of them. So violent and so strong was it that other human beings couldn't control him either. Couldn't even capture him and keep him. He would break the chains and the shackles and run out. He was running through the mountains and the tombs, crying out all the time and cutting himself with stones. He was in torment, totally controlled, and he had no free will of his own. And this is why Jesus confronted such situations. He wanted people to see what he could do and who he was in situations where people had no control. The disciples out on the sea that we saw last week, they had no control over their circumstances other than to turn to Jesus and say, "Don't you care that we're being destroyed?" The Lord orders our steps and our circumstances. He places us in circumstances that are totally beyond our authority and control, mainly to show us that He is in control. There are no demons. If you think that you're being oppressed that day, that Satan is hassling you, demons, by the way, cannot possess a believer because the Holy Spirit is inside of a believer and possesses a believer. But Satan can harass us and hassle us from the outside in circumstances, mental pressure, emotional pressure, physical pressure, circumstantial pressure. But from the inside, we have Christ. All of this is to pressure the human side of life, not the spiritual side of life. But it is interesting that these demons worshipped, these demons submitted to and acknowledged the lordship of Jesus Christ. They even admitted to and saw that Jesus delivered people from these demons and asked permission to go into the herd of swine. Now, why did they go into the swine? All the conjectures go. I don't know. It's not in the Bible. The only thing we can make from this is that it caused the reaction, the challenge to the people who were keeping the herd as well as the people in the city when they heard about it. They had to make a choice. Do you want your commerce and your pigs on the mountain, or do you want Jesus Christ? They were more concerned about the pigs that were drowned in the sea because of the demons than they were in the man who was healed and made well. There were some who wanted to be with the Lord, and there's others that wanted Him to leave. That's the challenge. Look at the challenge, verse 14. So those who were feeding the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demonized and had the legion, sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Interesting, they were afraid. Remember the disciples last week on the sea, that when Jesus calmed the sea and the wind, they said, "What manner of man is this?" And they were afraid. They were afraid of the storm, and now the storm was calm, they were afraid of Jesus. Who is this man? And they were afraid of Him. Instead of them coming out and rejoicing, they were afraid. They looked at the man. He was now fully clothed. He was in his right mind, and he was sitting there at the feet of Jesus. They should have rejoiced. But they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him, that he had been demonized, and about the swine. And so, while they stood there in shock and in fear, then those herdsmen who had seen it began to relate to them with the man sitting there and with Jesus standing there. They began to say, "We saw Jesus come up, and we saw the crazy man from out of the tombs come, the demonized man. And we saw the demons come out of this man and go into the swine and down into the water. And now this man is whole and the swine are drowned." And that's how the whole incident happened. So they related it to him. Now that's the challenge. In case you don't catch it, that's the challenge. What do you do? You lost your herd of swine, but the man was healed and made whole. What decision do you make? Look at the conclusion. Then they began, verse 17, then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. Why would they want him to leave? And when he got into the boat, he who had been demonized was begging him that he might be with him. All he wanted to do is be with the Lord. That's it. That was his heartfelt desire. You see, one group said, "Get out of here." And then the man that was touched by Jesus said, "I want to be with you." Two different responses. Two different conclusions. The conclusion to the matter is that Jesus placed a challenge in front of them. He manifested himself, and he manifested Satan himself to the people. This situation that was beyond human control and human authority, Jesus had the authority over demons, scared him half to death. "Get him out of here." Somebody has that much control and authority. But you notice the reaction? It wasn't so much that they didn't want his authority there as much as it is, look what happens when Jesus is around. Yes, there are people who are saved and who are healed, but there's also things that are destroyed. Who knows? Maybe those swine, those pigs were out there illegally. Maybe there's some kind of an illegal ranch or something going on. But they had to make a choice. They had to make a choice between the cause and effect. Jesus said, you must deny yourself and take up your cross to follow me. And you must consider the cost, Jesus said. I mean, you don't start out to build a house and you only have half the money to build a house. You don't start building it and stop. You consider the cost to see if you have enough money to finish the project. You don't go out to war, Jesus said, without considering the cost. If that other army is 10 times bigger than you, you have to consider the cost. And so Jesus said, for those who make their decision to follow him, you have to consider the cost. Satan is going to ruin a lot of things in the material world in order for a person to follow Christ. And Jesus is going to put the challenge out in front of us. What are you going to do? But it's all going to be based on who Jesus is. You see, when a person is saved and healed and touched and made whole by Jesus Christ, they want to be with him. But others who see the effects of it, they say, I don't want to suffer that way. I don't want to lose that. I don't want to lose my herd of pigs anymore just to see people get healed. To them, they don't want to be with him. Jesus said to the man, however, Jesus did not permit the man, verse 19, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion or mercy on you. And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis, that means 10 cities, all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. What was he supposed to tell them? 2 things. Number one, to tell you what Jesus has done for me, how he saved me, healed me, made me whole. And on what basis or what motive? You know what the good news is to tell people that God has mercy on us. That's how he saves us. That's the basis of his mercy and saving grace, is his mercy. The Lord wanted to have mercy on me. That's the testimony that every Christian has. The Lord wanted to have mercy on me, and what he did was he saved me. He delivered me from this present evil age, and it was all based on his death on the cross. His death on the cross paid for the penalty for my sins, which allowed me to receive salvation because the price had been paid. And when he saved me, he delivered me from a life of sin and corruption and destruction. And it was all based on his mercy. I wasn't a religious person. You know, the man says I was out in the tombs and completely demonized. And this Jesus, and that's the whole point of what the Lord does, is to manifest himself. Who is this Jesus that has control even over the hurricane storms, over the circumstances that we have no control of? Who is this Jesus that has control over a legion of demons that human beings have no control of? This is the same Jesus that comes to us and asks us to trust him. Also helps us to see that he places us in circumstances that are totally beyond our control, totally beyond our authority. But that we aren't to worry, we're not to be anxious for our life. If Jesus can have authority over a legion of demons, certainly Satan's harassment of us and oppression of us is nothing for him to take care of. As the Lord told Paul, that his grace is sufficient. When he said he was buffeted by Satan, the Lord said in 2 Corinthians 12, my grace is sufficient for you. His grace is sufficient. He's teaching us his sufficiency. He's teaching us that though we're inside and secure and warm and dry, though it's raining and storming on the outside, all is well. As we sang last week, all is well with my soul. And even though the circumstances around me and even the storms beating up against my human frame from the outside, inside all is dry, all is well, everything's fine. He's causing us to turn inward. That's why it said during our prayer time when we mentioned that the various hardships and the various tragedies that are happening now, not only in America and in the world, but in various people's lives. Well, that's good. It causes people to turn inward instead of turning outward, always looking outward for the money and the material things and getting the right circumstances as the happiness in life. And it isn't. The Lord is never going to let it be that way. He's always going to bring us in circumstances that is going to turn us inward. To a non-believer, it's to show them their emptiness. They have nothing. They don't have life. For a believer, we're going to be led into circumstances that are totally beyond our control and authority. To teach us to turn inward, where Christ dwells. To put our trust in Him and experience the peace of being in the eye of the storm. Though the storm is all around us, in Christ we have peace. He's asleep on the stern of the boat. He's on a cushion in a hurricane because He's in total control. He wants us to experience that kind of peace. He wants us to know that He has the authority over demons. That all things are in submission to Him. Even Satan himself is in submission to Jesus Christ. We need to realize that. That's why we need to go straight to the Lord. He has control over everything and everybody. He's teaching us to come to Him, to know Him for who He is, to put our trust in Him, and to be at peace, knowing that He will lead us and guide us and provide for us, because if my ship sinks, so does He, and that can't happen. So He'll put us in the circumstances. We will have the challenge presented to us, and then there's a response for conclusion. And we're going to be constantly taken into various situations and circumstances where we're going to be challenged. What do we do? Where are we going to turn for our resources? What are we going to base our decisions on? Those words keep coming back. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I'm God. What the Lord told the Israelites in Isaiah chapters 30 and 31, that when the Assyrians came to attack, they went down to Egypt for help, and the Lord said, I told you, just wait upon me, and I'll take care of it for you, but you went down to Egypt for help. He says, horses, they're flesh. They're not God. The men, the Egyptians, they're just men. They're not the Spirit of God. Human resources are not God. The Lord is teaching us to trust Him. Certainly all of us are attacked all the day long. We're oppressed by Satan. He attacks us. Not like this demonized man. You think you've had a bad day, read the story over a few times. That's a bad day. Next time you're naked up in the hills, running through the caves, cutting yourself and crying out, and you've got between 2,000 and 6,000 demons inside of you driving you to do this, then you've had a bad day. And even then, Jesus is in control. Jesus went to the man, and Jesus is the one that saved him. And Jesus healed him and made him whole. Did the man ask? No. The Lord is showing that He saves, He delivers. Paul's testimony was that I found myself in following Jesus Christ, I found myself in the hardest of circumstances, but the Lord delivered me out of them all. The Lord puts us in them just to show us that He can deliver us. He wants us to experience His deliverance each time so that we put our confidence in Him, trust Him, and be at peace. Who is this Jesus? That's the challenge every day of our life. Can Jesus handle this? Can He sustain me? He wants me to trust Him. Will I? Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your love. And just as You had compassion on this man who is demonized, so You've had compassion on us and mercy. You have delivered us. You've given us the mind of Christ. You've given us the sanity of Your Spirit and the truth of Your Word. Just teach us to trust You. Teach us to sit continuously under the hearing of Your Word, that our minds will be transformed, that our thoughts will be focused on You and not on the storms around us. So teach us to grow in Christ. Continue to change us into the image of Christ. Continue to change our thinking to be towards Your Word. And cause us to continue to experience the peace of Your Spirit, knowing that You are in charge. experience the peace of your spirit because of our trust, faith, not only in our Savior, but in our Lord. Realizing that He's had compassion on us, not because we deserve it or don't deserve it, but because He's paid the penalty for our sins, that we might have this relationship and receive grace and mercy and help in time of need. We thank You. Cause us to continue to come to the throne of grace to get that help in time of need freely, knowing that we will never be turned away. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.